glimmer, glimmer. Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. It is KVNF's gardening show. My name is Jill, and I'm here with my guru gardeners, Lulu and Lance. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, worms.
Getting turning, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, it's wormy out there, is it not?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. It's quite wet and worms all over the place.
Worms all over the place. Let's give people the numbers before we start talking worms. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now, because this is a call-in show. We want your call-ins.
And don't wait.
Right. Ring us now. Jeff's in there just waiting. He loves answering the phone.
Right. He's so good at it. Right?
He is.
He's so good at it. Thank God.
Yeah.
He's in there laughing.
But give us a ring. We've got lots going on and just a weird season right now with all the wetness, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's off the charts, really.
Off the charts.
By the way, it's 5.5 inches after the rain last night.
Whoa, that is off the charts, isn't it?
Yeah, we're thinking the annual average or the average for May is probably around an inch at best.
At best.
Right.
Yeah.
So way different planting season this year.
Way different. Yeah. But the worms are loving it.
The worms are loving it. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you dig.
Everywhere you go. Uh-huh. Yeah, and yesterday evening I was out watching those worms. And they were stretched all over the place with one end anchored in the hole.
The night crawlers.
Uh-huh. And the big night crawlers.
The big nighties.
Sweet, yeah.
And just watching them, and they were just cruising, reaching out, looking for organic matter.
Uh-huh.
You know, pulling things in.
Yeah, and so what they do is they pull it in. They go out, and they feel around. I used to call it the worm dance. And they feel around, and they find anything, a little seed, a piece of straw, twig. It can be anything.
It can be a leaf. We've seen them.
Work a leaf, anything like that that's on the surface. They grab and they pull it down into the hole, and they do it to keep the hole from flooding and for feeding themselves, or if there's any new night crawlers that are going
new
to
baby
be.
Night crawlers down there.
I mean,
amazing.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing ever, really, because night crawlers are amazing because they bring that surface material,
the organic material
right down into the dirt, which is what we're always talking about, getting your soil loose and humusy and all that and organic matter in there is fabulous. It breaks down, softens it.
Nice.
And so they're doing that, but they're also going, they go so far down, they go down sometimes 3 feet. Into the
Are you kidding me?
No. So they go all the way down and they you know, do what they do. I don't know what they do down there, you know. But
they've
there
got
they
a pool
are.
Table down there.
Yeah, they got everything.
Cocktail lounge.
Yeah,
right.
Really.
And they hang out. And then when they come up, they take the minerals and things that are down in the subsoils and they bring them to the surface. And then they take all that organic matter and bring it down into their holes.
Yeah, so those tubes are like air
vents.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That'd be great to see a cross-section of that, you know, like an ant farm.
Yeah, it would be really cool,
and just
right?
just watch mm-hmm. that happen in a time-lapse or something.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably can. I mean, somebody must have done it at some point,
you
know, because it's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, they're really super beneficial.
Yeah, well, seeing worms is a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So they're busy now because it's so wet. They don't want those.
Yeah,
tubes.
and it's cool. So they're near the surface, see, as well. I mean, the night crawlers, they don't care when it's. They go up and down. They're all over the place, but all the other worms are near the surface because it's cool enough. Once the soil starts to get really hot,
they're gonna dive,
you know, and down they go. So if you want to rototill your garden and you don't want to, you know, be massacring worms, you just wait until it's hotter.
Oh, because they're down.
If you can.
Hotter
they're
and,
down lower.
And drier.
And drier,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're down further.
Yeah, 527-4868, 1-866, KVNF now. And we were talking a little bit about tilling before we started here. And you got your tilling in, didn't you, Lance?
I got my tilling in.
Uh-huh.
So
just
and it wasn't because I knew it was going to rain. I did it because if there's a time frame in the spring that you can till and then it gets too hard And I saw that happening early.
I did too.
Hardening up.
Hardening up. So yep. I went and tilled, and I actually had all my rows made for and measured out before this rain ever started.
Oh, good timing so, for you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually planted this weekend corn and beans and stuff like that.
So the rain didn't stop you at all?
No.
You just waited for that glimmer of sun, got right out there.
Yeah, and it was not sticky.
Right.
Yeah, we got it all done. My friend Jan came down from Gunnison,
uh-huh,
and
great.
We got the corn and dry beans, pole beans.
How much did you plant of like corn? Or?
There's actually, I counted the corn. There's like 270 plants.
Woo.
Of the corn. And that was Mandan
Bride.
Is that
Bride. Your popcorn? Or?
No, Mandan Bride multicolored corn.
Oh, uh-huh.
This
nice.
Multicolored corn.
Oh.
And then the beans, Anasazi's, there's 250 feet of that. There's 250 feet of another bean called Roma's or Lena Cisco's Easter Egg. I'm not sure.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That sounds fabulous.
And then there's another bean, Teperi's are from the native Southwest, and they're extremely drought tolerant. And those, I planted Sonoran Gold, and then I planted a new one called Eye of the Goat.
Wow.
And
do you keep this all in your mind? Do you label your garden rows?
No, I know everything,
you
know,
yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't write anything down.
People
get mad at
me.
But as I'm walking around, okay, that's that.
Right. You.
And like the onion beds, they're not labeled and they all look the same. But I start with the yellow Spanish. And the yellow Spanish, the next one's the red man onion. The next one is the New York Earlies. The next one is the Southport Red Globe. Uh-huh, and then so the Newburgs are off by themselves.
A little.
And I always put them in those. That
Right. That's uh-huh. what I was just yeah. going right. to say. So you always put them in the same order. So,
yeah, so
right.
And the same with the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
They're alphabetical.
I use that trick a lot with my mind lately.
Yeah.
Consistency is efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
It does.
You
yeah.
know, it's amazing. And then, well, and you also, then you learn little nuances when they're germinating too and ways mm-hmm. you can spot them and
right.
know who they are.
You right. Know, you get to know your plants.
Right. You mm-hmm. really get to know them that way. And it's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing else on there is carrots. This is something I noticed about carrots thinning. Because in your small gardens, people thin to maybe 1 inch, and then they'll come back and take every other one out. But I noticed I did that for a couple of years, even with the big carrots. And the big carrots, the Danvers, the Chantenays, those the big carrots, they didn't like the second thinning. I think it disturbed their roots too much.
Oh.
So for me personally, I go on those big carrots, I thin them once to 2 inches, I'm done.
Only
no
thin
kidding.
The yeah. Lulu surprised no, I was, at that. Why no, are you so yeah, surprised?
Well,
moment of silence.
Well, I was just, I was just meditating on it, and so I was thinking, so you go through, you do your first thinning, right,
mm-hmm.
and then you didn't do the second thinning. They were close enough together on the second thinning to.
Well, I tried it a couple times just to improve production,
uh-huh.
and so I thinned to 1 inch. And
I
came back and took them out the second time. And I think two things. One was the roots were disturbed. And the other ones, you don't know how many leaves you're breaking off the ones you're leaving. You're actually breaking mm-hmm. off leaves.
Oh.
You know, those. And I think the two things together.
Oh, right. I see. You know, right. I see. Yeah.
So on the big carrots, just thin them once.
Yeah. Now, if you've got a small garden, go ahead and do it twice.
Yeah, you can dink around with
yeah,
it. Right,
but I'm
right.
talking,
you know, 250 of feet here. Of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
No,
yeah.
Six rows, 50 feet long. That's in one bed.
That's 300.
You know, we need an aerial
no, wait,
view
what is
of
it?
Your garden. We need a drone to fly over his garden.
Yeah.
I think you can find it on Google Map. I've,
oh, there you go.
Oh, I bet you can.
Yeah, I think some people have showed me.
Oh boy! Now we can watch Lance out in his garden.
Well, there
we
you
don't
have
need
it.
To. Ask
no
you,
privacy,
right?
Oh.
But you did not get your tilling in, Lulu.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I was so right at the point that Lance was just talking about, where I was starting to notice that the ground was getting too hard. And once it gets to that point, and it starts, it gets like I call it summertime hard,
mm-hmm.
where it starts
mm-hmm.
to mm-hmm. crack. And you lose that sponginess and softness.
Suppleness. Yeah.
Suppleness
right.
is a good word. And I just was at that point, and it rained. So I did other things. You know, there's always, I always have 1,000 projects in my yard going at all times. And so I got on to another project, and then it started to rain.
Uh-huh.
And then I
it
haven't
stopped it hasn't, long enough.
I mean, it sort of has, but then uh-huh. I, you know, then I was on another project, or it wasn't, you know, or I
project.
Right, or I just yeah. I know, or I just didn't have to really do it because I had, you know, but there's also before it gets to that hard spot, I'm always waiting for all of my lamb's quarter and my free-seeded arugula and mm-hmm. all of that comes in. And, you know, I start eating it. Well, once I start eating it, I don't want to disturb it.
You're totally distracted on that project.
Right. So then there's that. So,
yeah.
You know, I think at this point, if you can't till and you still want to, my broad fork is in the truck.
There you go.
I know.
You look like a broad fork woman.
And I got the small one, not the big one.
Oh, good. I actually started in the chicken yard doing that today because uh-huh. I wanted to break up some stuff. But the girls started gorging on the worms.
So many worms.
Oh, my God. And I just thought, I'm frenzied. Not feeding these silly chickens all these great worms. So I didn't.
And that's a little tricky, that chicken compost right now, isn't it?
Oh, it's
let's
all...
Let's talk compost in general.
Yeah, yeah. Let's. Okay, so it's all gummy.
It's all gummy yeah.
wet,
chicken.
Wet.
Too wet.
Too wet. It's gone anaerobic.
Yeah.
Which means no air. So it's
yeah. So what do you
it's
do?
It's cold. It's cold. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah,
ask Lance.
What do you do, Lance? Please, Lance.
Well, I actually try to dry mine out so I can run it through the shredder, so that hasn't worked.
So that's not working.
No, but... Well, it's not the top part. It's the with all these rains, it's seeping what's, through the bottom.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and the bottom 6 to 12 inches of my compost are just muck.
Right.
And so I'm just going to continue, actually turn it more.
Uh-huh.
Just to
keep it
yeah,
moving.
Aerate it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm going to do. They haven't got anaerobic in the point of stinking. Those really stinky piles are two things. One, too much nitrogen and or too much water.
Too much water.
Uh-huh.
And water makes them anaerobic.
And is there a point where that compost doesn't come back, or is it just then working it a little bit more,
well, an anaerobic, drying it out? An anaerobic pile will still decompose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes longer and it's stinky.
And right. and it has a tendency to have some bacterial life that's not really that beneficial.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But once you get it dried out and back, it's gone.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of compost work ahead of us.
But this is something that happened to me. My friend from Carbondale called up wondering what was going on with their spinach. Because it was not even barely the first true leaves, and it was already going to seed. And I remember being over there. She bought some those big tote bags, those huge tote bags. What are they, one? You know,
the construction ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those big, huge
They're like
bags.
A yard or something.
And
huge.
I noticed about commercial compost is wood chips are really easy and very cheap, and they're never broken down.
Right.
And
right.
that's, I says, that compost had a lot of wood chips in it, too. It looked really good. Everything else was broken down,
right.
but there were still chunks of wood. And this is the problem.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, so that's when I mentioned wood chips. I wish people wouldn't put it anywhere near their vegetable gardens. Pathways,
mm-hmm.
and if you're mulching perennial shrubs, especially if you're not watering them,
right.
that I've done that.
Right.
It works really good that way, but keep them out of your...
keep them out of the garden.
The vegetable, especially annual gardens.
Right.
Yeah.
Pick them out
if
you see them.
Right. So I have a lot of wood chips in my yard. I have... two pathways, and the whole back in the industrial zone, I call it, is wood chips. Well, all well and good, except for I probably should have replaced them last year. And now the dirt is all coming up, and now with all this rain, it's...
What you got there, a big
I got
mess.
A lot of stuff. I got stuff. I got a lot of things
coming
up. A
lot of stuff.
I was at a house that they put, not wood chips, but it was the peelings from the logs.
Right.
They were using log construction and stuff, and they mulched with that. And that is a real nuisance to get that
imagine.
Out of the way to plant.
Right.
I can imagine.
And it's not even thick enough to really keep the yeah. weeds or anything down.
Right, right. Well, they'll be thinking differently about using that next time.
You know, if that's not the truth, right? Live
right.
and learn. Try yeah. it. Try it, and if it doesn't work, try something else.
Exactly.
You just never know.
And even if you get a routine down, you'll get thrown a year like this from Mother Nature, and it throws everything off.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
yeah.
I think it's exciting that way. Lance, you have some of those crops that you planted in the fall coming up and getting pretty close to harvest.
Yeah, that's spinach and lettuce and cilantro and stuff that I planted last fall actually is finished.
Oh, wow.
So,
I remember talking about it.
I think you ate some of it too. But anyways, that spinach and lettuce will be coming out.
Oh, that spinach, that was tender spinach.
Yeah, that spinach and lettuce will be coming out. And then the second planting of spinach and lettuce will be out in probably 2 weeks. And then I will go back in that area. I'll put compost on it. I'll put use the broad fork just to loosen the soil because it's in a bed. And then I will plant carrots. And I'm probably going to plant mainly scarlet nantes because that's what I need to grow for seed next year.
Mm-hmm. So you're planting carrots there, one, to use the space, but to change it up a bit, too?
It's always to change it up. You never follow a leaf with a leaf, a root with a root, a flower with a flower.
Right.
It's
right.
just a rotation.
Right.
It's different than the rotation of the conventional agriculture, which is soil builder, which is legumes, and then you go to light feeders, lettuce or something like that, and then you go to heavy feeders, which is corn or potatoes. And they rotate that. If you rotate that, you've mined your soil so bad that it's pretty bad.
Oh, sure.
And this is rotating not just feeders, but also energy, the different types of energy that flowers like. People don't realize that they actually need to dig up their flower bed and completely redo it about every 5 to 10, more like every 10 years.
Uh-huh.
They actually need to do that.
Completely redo it in what way do you mean?
Dig everything out and start over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, there's some shrubs and there's some shrubs that you're going to leave, but I'm talking like all the bulbs.
Right.
You know,
flowers.
The irises, even peonies. I've worked at one place that has had peonies in the same place for probably 50 years. They really need to be changed.
Oh, wow. Oh, you just wouldn't expect that because some of those are just ancient flowers and that's attractive to some people. But you're changing it to change up the soil.
The soil and those roots, like on those peonies, they don't have the buds that they could have. I dug up some peonies 1 year from a friend's house up in Cedar Ridge. And she said, oh, they're small white ones. And so I cleaned them up. And these things were so bad. And I planted them. And in 2 years, I had peonies this big.
Right, the size of a
giant.
Plate. The
yeah.
flower is
huge. It just improved the root quality.
Right. So you replanted them.
Yeah, replanted them.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
You can amend soil, you know, on the surface all you want, but the bottom line is that plant is drawing minerals and nutrients out of the soil. You can't replace it. You have to refresh it.
Right.
You can't replace it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating.
So, but I don't do that much.
No. I don't see it happen too much.
No, I get away with it, I think, because I change things so much and I transplant. Well, I'm still changing.
You just do that naturally.
But I don't change the whole thing.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I like digging it up. And if you want to put flowers back in, that's fine.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're just changing it up.
You
a
just
bit.
Change it up. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're still cleaning up. Well, we're all still cleaning up. Heavens, Betsy.
God.
Yeah.
It's just going to go on forever.
I think it is. I'm really digging, though, how fun it is to pull weeds.
Yes, that is a beautiful
isn't
thing.
Isn't it? It is a beautiful thing. I just have gone to town.
I just have a few too many in that industrial zone, though.
Yeah. Right.
Because I haven't done it in a day too close to the surface.
Whistle for me, Lulu, because
you're on it?
Yeah, I'm addicted to it. I'll just come over with my Japanese shovel and... They're out of there.
Oh, I love it. Perfect.
Pick her up.
That's right. And you're cleaning up, Lance, a lot of things out of your beds that just have volunteered up and maybe brought in by the birds. And
birds and stuff. I've mentioned this in the past, way, in the 5-minute show on Mondays and stuff. But uncommon weeds that people don't think of as weeds. And I got a whole list here. Uh-huh. And mulberry trees. They reseed readily. And choke cherries, both the shoots and the seeds, quite a bit. Sumac, which is also known as Rus triloba, the birds bring that one in.
Right, sure.
And then currants and gooseberries, I'm digging those out on a regular basis. And then these are just flowers, and they just go all over the place, and you leave them where you want them and take them out where you don't. And that's calendulas, larkspur, nigella, which is also known as love in the mist.
It's so pretty.
And it's very pretty. It's very
yeah.
soft leaves, and it's just about ready to start flowering. Mainly it's a blue, some white. And is there a pink in that?
I think there is.
Yeah, I don't have much pink. I know I have mainly blue and some white.
Oh, wait. Or are we thinking of pincushion? I know they have.
No.
Oh, well, whatever. No. Anyway.
And then, of course, there's dill and cilantro, borage, chives, lemon balm.
Oh, the lemon balm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the Melissa.
Melissa.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. It's everywhere.
Uh-huh.
That's really, but you know, that's not a bad idea, though, to have some growing, like maybe in your picnic area or whatever, because mm-hmm. the lemon scent repels mosquitoes.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And these,
lots of these,
the lemon balm, that's a great insect.
Mm-hmm.
They love the flower. And valerian is, you know, on a regular basis. And raspberries.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll just go crazy if you let them, huh?
Yeah, right. They'll let go.
Right.
Hey, what's that? We've got someone on the line. Skip has a question. Hi, Skip.
Hey, y'all.
yep.
You know, I was just calling actually in respect to something that I heard mentioned on the previous show, which I don't know if you guys had been listening or not, but they were talking about seed saving, and the lady who I think was on your show one time said that there was Sarah, right? She said that 90% of the seeds mm-hmm. had been lost over the last, like, 200 years. Is that, like, a statistic, something like that? It seemed kind of staggering to me.
It is staggering. Just,
yeah, yeah. That's why it's...
That's why it's so crucial to do...
Wow.
Yeah, to do it. To just save seeds or, you know, participate in the library program or... You know, ask Lance what you need or whatever, because there used to be thousands of varieties of
everything,
potato,
like
tomato,
potatoes,
everything.
Yeah, right.
Thousands. And now I think there's like basically four.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's one in rice. In China, there's 10,000 varieties of rice. And with the modern agriculture, they want to make it 10.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
Oh, and that's really scary because that makes it very vulnerable to disease and insect.
Right. And that's why you start to realize that those big seed banks in Norway mm-hmm. and in a couple of other really crazy places.
Yeah, like above Norway, there's like the crazy seed bank.
Yeah. And it's not that crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty important.
You've got to have genetic diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and just like, what's the European Union? I think they have, it's actually quite stringent what you can grow there. I forget the actual laws on it. It's like the heirloom stuff is, you can grow it if you want, but you can't sell it.
Because?
That's against the European Union bylaws.
Oh.
Even in Europe, it's got these weird laws.
Yeah, it's really
That kind of amazes me.
I don't know about the 90% loss, but over 200 years, probably.
Right. Sounds right.
It's not improbable.
And that's just basically due to companies wanting to just kind of have a handle on all the seeds.
All the seeds.
Basically.
And it's also marketing, the way they've marketed things. And in the United States, they've marketed things to be pretty and not tasteful.
Right. And it's also probably from big agriculture and grocery stores and, you know, people aren't and the culture has changed so much. Little communities where, you know, they had some, you know, your great grandfather's Hungarian grandmother brought some pepper plant or something.
Yeah,
right.
They spread it through the community and they'd have it. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. Use turkey red wheat. And it's an heirloom. It's been around for maybe 1,000, 2,000 years out of Turkey. And they were growing that in the, as a dry land wheat in the plains. And it's not grown at all anymore. And I do grow this one. I do have it. But the reason why it's not grown is when it's a drought year, it's the perfect height, you know, maybe 18 inches, 2 feet. But if you get a water year like this, mm-hmm. it'll get 4 or 5 feet tall. You can't machine mm-hmm. harvest it.
Oh, huh. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about can't how on the grape down on the plains, on the eastern plains, they have some wheat rust or fungus or something wow. that's gotten on the wheat because of all the rain?
All the rain down
yeah.
there.
Wow. Yeah.
See, and that's the kind of thing you can avoid with diversity, you know.
Right.
So
exactly.
I guarantee they're all planting the same.
Yeah, so.
I'm psyched that Kit got that seed thing going, even though I'm not necessarily the person to use it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's an important thing to kind of keep going for various, you know, small communities and larger
yeah.
communities.
Yeah. I encourage everybody to grow one plant.
One plant per seed.
If it's a patch of spinach, a patch of lettuce, some beans.
That's right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Go ahead. Do it.
Do it.
Try
yep.
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm still working on my grapes.
Great.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Skip.
Thanks, Skip.
Thank you, guys. All right.
Bye.
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 Hey, we're almost out of time, but
I know. Should
mention...
I tell Lynn quick about the yellow foxtail?
Oh, yeah, do that.
Okay, Lynn, if you're listening, the yellow foxtail is mistaken for millet. Is that right?
Yes.
Lance, we got
mm-hmm.
that right. Yeah. And it's yellow foxtail. And the other foxtail, the foxtail barley, is quite different looking. That's the one that's all fluffy, and the millet is the one that they call it stick. I call it stick tight because
yeah, somebody told me Velcro weed.
Velcro weed, yeah, because it just goes right on you. So, if you want to know more, Lynn, I know you're super smart, so you can go look it up on the computer. But
yeah.
There's your bottom line. So
yeah,
right.
And it only germinates when it's warm. It's a millet, mm-hmm. so it germinates when it's warm.
What's that?
The
foxtail.
The yellow foxtail.
Mm-hmm. The yellow foxtail, yeah.
The barley thing came up.
Oh, that's...
It might
yeah.
have come up last fall.
Right. Well, right. it's a perennial and the other's a annual.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
You know, we've been sitting in here for the last half hour smelling this wonderful garlic that Lulu brought in. What is that, Lulu?
It's little tiny
bulbs.
Right. And it came from my yard. And because these are first year bulbs and because I'm harvesting them now and because they're in these huge clumps, they stay small and tender like this. But once they get bigger, they start to actually form a globe of garlic. And then it's not the same. But they wear their babies on their head and they spread all over. And it's it's one of those weeds that Lance was just talking about. You get it out where you don't want it and you leave it where you do.
Right, right.
And at
exactly.
this time of year when you eat it now, it is so sweet and so tender and so delicious.
Oh, it's fabulous smelling.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
Yeah, thank you. All right, that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, folks, we'll be back next Tuesday. It's the Farm Fresh Auction. So,
oh, I can't wait.
A little bit early. We'll be starting at 6 o'clock, and there's a lot of great stuff out there. You can go to the webpage, www.kvnf.org, and you can actually start bidding on the items that are out there. It's going to be fun. But until next week, dry up.
Yeah.
Have fun gardening.
Dry up.
Yeah, yeah. Put your shorts on.
Right.
Get out there and get in the dirt.
Yeah, stay tuned for One Woman's Perspective. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Good night.
Bye.
To make a sign to, I gotta get that I love so low, little low and low.